The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Geordie and Emily, for the fantastic job you did in producing that. It's amazing. Thanks to all those Range Villains who shared their story, some remarkable stories, whether that is the laceration of fingers or fires in chimneys or chickenpox isolations. And I'm sure you've got your own stories as well of things that happened in your lives and in your adventures. You know, as that passage unpacked and as we looked at last week, Christmas for Mary and Joseph was a time of challenge. And yet, as we talked about, there may not have been peace around about them, but they could rest in peace within them because they were in alignment with what God had for them. They knew their identity of who it was that God had called them to be and what he asked them to do. So today we want to move forward from the challenges of all of that into looking at the gift of the baby Jesus. And for Mary and Joseph, there would have been a sense of joy they would have experienced, not just because there's a tiny baby, because babies bring joy, don't they? There's something exciting when we see a tiny little baby. But as well as that, there's this sense of trust. This idea that God has trusted them with his own son. His own son has come from heaven to earth, and God has trusted this young couple to raise this young child. It reminds me of someone I know who was trusted with the gift of a little puppy. And it wasn't just the gift of the puppy and the joy that that brought. It was also this sense that this person was trusted to be able to take care of and look after that little one. For Mary and Joseph, that God spoke to them and said, I trust you with my son. It spoke to their very identity as children of God. And in turn, they had the gift of being the first ones to see the Son of God here on earth. And they weren't the only ones who received an amazing gift that night. You see, there were shepherds in a field, and it was probably another typical night. The day, of course, had been very busy because the roads were filled with all these people who were travelling to the villages of their ancestors. They were on the roads. It was busy, and the shepherds got to see them all going past. But come night time, they could slow down. They could rest when suddenly the sky lit up. And angels were seen singing and were heard singing in the heavens, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Could you imagine that performance? This is a premiere event. Not only that, it is a one-off event, never to be repeated. The standard of this performance, heralding the birth of the Saviour of the world. And these were shepherds who got to see it. Not the upper echelon of society who might have been able to afford tickets to a show at an expensive level. These were shepherds. They weren't the most trusted of professions. They weren't the cleanest of people. They spent their days out in the paddocks looking after sheep. They smelled of sheep and they didn't get to wash very often, so they smelled of BO. You know, all of this, and yet it was to them that God trusted with the joy of this angelic performance. They were treated to the greatest performance as probably ever occurred on earth. This special one-time event validated them as important, people valuable in the eyes of God. The shepherds were deemed worthy to receive the gift of the angels heralding the birth of this long-awaited-for Messiah. And then when the shepherds hurried off to Bethlehem to see the new baby in the manger, they were the ones who were trusted to get to meet the baby there in the manger for one of the very few that would have experienced that. And then, maybe for the first time, as they went out into the streets, people were listening to them. And it says that all who heard were amazed. Suddenly the shepherds, people were amazed at what they had to say. So just seeing this gift of Jesus redefining the identity of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. But you see, a gift is something that has to be given. That's the very definition of a gift. It's something that is given. So today is Christmas Day. It's a day where gifts are being given. So who here has already been given a gift? Anyone? Yeah? Nearly everyone. Well, that's exciting. It's wonderful to be able to receive gifts and to hear what they are. But you know, gifts aren't just about being given them. It's also about receiving. It's, in other words, for a gift, it has to be given and it has to be received. Both of those become part of the gift. And so take a moment and think about the favourite gift that you are giving to someone. Think about the joy that you've had in buying it or making it or wrapping it. And the joy that you anticipate as you give it to someone and you see them get to unwrap it. You see, Christmas is about giving and receiving. Both of these are part of the joy of Christmas. And so we've just seen that a gift has to be given and received. Imagine if there's a beautiful gift. It's all wrapped up. It's sitting under the Christmas tree. And it remains there. And no one wants it. And it looks beautiful. Stunning. And yet it remains simply something wrapped up. Unless it is received and unwrapped. And then it truly becomes a joy, because both the giver with their expectation of the person unwrapping it and the person receiving it and unwrapping it and their joy, suddenly it takes on a whole new dimension. When you think about the very first gift ever given as a Christmas gift, it was given by God the Father. It was the gift of his Son given to us. In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world. The world here is referring to humanity. God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son. This is a story of Christmas. This is a story of God loving people. This is a story of God giving the very best gift that could ever possibly be given for us, because he loves us. The gift of his one and only Son. But as we saw earlier, not only must a gift be given, and God did the giving here, a gift must also be received for it to have effect. So God gave his Son as a gift for whoever would receive and believe in him. The recipients of the gift receive it by choosing to believe in him. Because you see, as they believe in him, it then says that they shall have eternal life. And eternal life is not just for something way out there. It changes how we live life here on earth. It changes our perspective. It changes our value. It changes our identity. And it changes our eternity. For someone who receives the gift of Jesus, who chooses to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we discover that then God is with us. We first see this in Matthew chapter 1, where Joseph has been struggling with this idea that Mary is pregnant and he knows he's not the dad and he's wondering what to do, and the angel comes to visit him and brings peace into that situation. And then we continue immediately after that story to read this. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." See, this is what we were singing earlier. Emmanuel, God with us. You see, when we receive the gift of Jesus, we receive God's presence. Emmanuel, God with us. Many of you have probably received an invitation to a party over the years that said something like this: no need to bring presents, just your presence. It's this latter presence, the idea of Emmanuel, God with us, that is the most important. It's that that's available to us when we choose to put our faith in Jesus Christ. It is the presence of God. And you see, when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he came as a tiny baby, born of a couple, a young couple, a tradie and his young wife. And as we receive the gift of Jesus, we receive his presence with us. And then, as Geordie and Emily showed us in the Rangeville News this morning, this is not a Jesus who just remains as a tiny baby. It's a Jesus who understands us. A Jesus who gets us in the everyday of life. As we saw in Hebrews 4, that Jesus is able to empathize with our weaknesses. He understands them. He understands the temptations that we struggle with. Why? Because he has also been tempted in every way, just as we are. The difference is that he handled those temptations without sin. But through Jesus, and through the perfection of who he was as the Son of God, through his death on the cross, it means that we are able to come into relationship with God the Father. We are able to come to God. We receive mercy. We find grace to help us in our times of need. Jesus is someone who we can relate to, someone who understands every challenge that we face, because he too has faced them at the base level of what they are. When we receive Jesus, we receive his presence with us, and also with an understanding in us that he can walk with us because he has been there himself. And when we receive the gift of Jesus, we also receive the gift of hope. See, the biblical idea of hope is particularly relevant at Christmas time. The Apostle Paul wrote about this. He actually quoted an Old Testament prophet called Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this about 700 years before Jesus was born. And this is what he wrote: "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." When it talks about the root of Jesse, it's actually talking about the birth of Jesus. Now, the reason it refers to it as the root of Jesse is that Jesus was a descendant of King David, and King David's father was Jesse. So when it's talking about the root of Jesse, it's saying this genealogy, this family line that goes from Jesse to King David and down through the generations until Jesus is born. And so it's saying here that Jesus is born and then he will arise to rule over nations. He will arise to be the king over all of creation. And in him, people, Gentiles, those who are not Jews, will find their hope. There is hope available to us in Jesus Christ. And when we receive the gift of Jesus Christ, the God of hope fills us with all joy and peace. Joy and peace. Christmas is a time of joy, isn't it? It's a time of celebration today. And it is to be a time of peace. One of the things that people yearn for Christmas is peace. And so this joy and peace is available to us when we receive the gift of Jesus Christ coming into our lives. And the hope that Jesus offers is not just some nebulous hope. It's like a child hoping that maybe they might receive a remote control car later today. And they're hoping that mum and dad remembered to put in the batteries. And mum and dad remembered and put in the batteries, but after an hour they're hoping the batteries go flat. That's hope as we see it easily, but that's not the hope that's referred to here. The hope here is one that is deeper, that is richer, that is life changing. Imagine as you're sitting around the Christmas table and you say, "Can someone give me a glass of punch?" and someone takes a glass that they punch and they quarter fill your cup. You think, I'm really thirsty. So do you just drink the little you have and then wonder, do I ask for some more? Are they going to give me more than that? See, when God spoke here of hope, and it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, does it mean he's going to quarter fill it? Half fill it? Is God really good and three quarter fills it with joy and peace? No. It says that God is going to fill to full. Just to full? He's going to overflow, isn't he? Imagine if this was on your tablecloth. It'd be a sticky mess, wouldn't it? But this is what the scripture's saying to us. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what God offers us. Because you see, when you start to overflow, it starts to impact those around about you. See, when you're only a little bit full of joy and peace, that's nice. But God offers you more. In fact, God says that he will fill you, which is good for you. But then God says that you would overflow, that it would overflow from you to those around about you. That when people see you, when people interact with you, they are influenced by the fact that you are overflowing with hope. That you have this hope that in turn can bring joy into your life and bring peace into the world around about you. Because you can influence the world around about you. This is the gift of joy and hope and peace that is available to us through Jesus Christ. And the world needs these. Our world needs hope. Our world, our people need joy. Our society needs peace. And when we think of presents, some presents are really stunning. They are these incredible gifts. They're so beautiful that someone unwraps it and they look at it and they hold it and they think, this is so precious and so beautiful that I don't want anyone to damage it. And so they take it and they put it up on the shelf where it's safe. And they leave it there. Now, there may be some dads who receive the gift and they go, this is going straight to the pool room. If you've ever watched The Castle, you would understand that. There are other gifts that are just incredibly practical. They're going to be used in the everyday of life. I remember one year, Kylie had said to me, I'd like a really practical gift. And she told me what it was, and I said, okay. So I went to the shops, and I got this incredibly practical gift, and I'm standing at the checkout with it, ready to buy it. And someone actually from church came up to me and said, I hope you're not buying that for Kylie for Christmas. And then I was in this dilemma. Who do I please? Do I go ahead and buy this or not? I did. You see, there are these gifts that we have. And some are so precious that we want to take them and put them away where they're never going to be damaged. There are gifts that we receive that become part of our everyday life. Part of the things that we will use again and again in life. And we need to decide how we're going to receive the gift of Jesus on Christmas Day. Do we receive him as a religious gift? That is, do we receive him as a gift that we use on Christmas Day and then we put him away on a shelf? And maybe we'll pull him down again at Easter time. Or maybe we'll use Jesus again once or twice throughout the year, but otherwise just on the shelf. Or is Jesus part of our everyday life? Is Jesus a gift that is given to us that we receive him? And he becomes part of every moment of our life. And that's his desire. That this gift that God has given, when God so loved us, when God so loved every one of you, that he gave his one and only son as his gift, that when we receive him, we have this gift of that changes our life here on earth and for all eternity, becomes part of our everyday life. When we receive this gift of Jesus Christ, we have Emmanuel. We have the presence of God with us constantly. It changes our life. Jesus is the gift who understands us, empathizes with us, has been there before, understands us, and allows us to come to him and into relationship with God the Father. And then Jesus is the gift of hope. Hope that can fill us with joy and with peace. And we need that. Not just to be partially filled, but to be overflowing with joy and peace in a way that then influences those around about us to bring God's joy and peace into this world that needs it. It's my prayer that as you reflect on this gift that is available to you, that you'd receive the gift of Jesus Christ this Christmas. And even if you've placed your faith in him, I pray that today you would experience an overflowing, a filling up and overflowing of God's love for you, of his hope in you, his presence, and express that as joy and peace, and that you would carry that and bless those around about you with that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son, that you loved us so much, you sent your Son for us, that you have given us this gift of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we would receive this gift as we believe in Jesus Christ, and that, Lord, he would become part of our everyday lives, transforming lives, filling us to overflowing. And may we live in the expression of that this day. And so as we close now with this benediction, let us go from this place knowing our identity as God's beloved children who have been invited to receive the first and greatest gift of Christmas, Christ, the Son of God. And may the love of the Father and the joy of the Spirit and the peace of the Christ child and the hope of the world be with you today, this Christmas, and forevermore. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.